Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Beis, Chapter 32. This Perek is the eighth in the series of Nevuos addressed to the other nations. It is the last of four addressed directly to Mitzrayim. Within this Perek there are two Nevuos. The first revolves around the destruction of Egypt and uses imagery and language that we are familiar with from the descriptions of the destruction of Israel and of Tzor. The second Nevuah is different. It speaks about the descent of Pyro and his men in the context of the downfall of other empires that either precede or follow the downfall of Egypt. The Perek opens by telling us the date, Vayhi b'shtei esrei shana b'shnei asar chodesh b'echad l'chodesh, and it happened in the 12th year of Tzidkiyahu, in the 12th month, in the first day of the month, which was a full 20 months after the Chorban. Hashem then tells Yecheskel in Pasuk Beis, verse 2, as he has in previous Prakim, to say a kina, a lamentation, over the destruction of Egypt. Yecheskel has already been tasked to say a kina before, both for Tzor and for the last kings of Israel. Here, the Mefarshim disagree whether this kina, this elegy, is sincere or is it sarcastic. Mitzrayim caused the Jewish people immeasurable harm with their constant political interference and unreliability. However, Hashem never rejoices in anyone's misery. Would the Jews rejoice at the pain of an enemy, even if they themselves had suffered but are no longer in danger? Should Jews feel pain at the punishment of a nation that denied God and furthered idolatry in the world? This is the debate Mefarshim have when reading our Perek. In either case, the Kinna recorded paints a picture of the end of this mighty nation. In the last Perek, the Navi pointed out that arrogance had been a primary cause of Egypt's sins. The Kina begins with that theme and describes how Paro sees himself. Kfer Gayim Nidmesa, you appear to yourself like a young lion of the nations. In Perek Yutes, chapter 19, we had a Kina for the kings of Israel, who are described as young lions. Being a lion was an allegory for a certain level of power and prominence within other nations. Paro considered himself a lion, but he was truly Katanim Fayamim, like a sea creature in the seas. He had no power. His place was in the water, not on land. He should not have tried to act like a lion with the other nations. However, because of his ambitions, he was like an animal churning up the water beneath him. With his manic activity, he brings no wealth or peace, only slime and murkiness. Rashi says that a sea creature does best in the water where it belongs, while the young lion experiments with claiming unfamiliar territory as his own. Egypt should have contented itself to stay within its borders, with life centering around the Nile, rather than trying to fight against Babel. As a sea creature without the legs of a lion, it ended up churning and muddying the water which it needed to survive. Hashem says about Egypt in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Uferasti alecha es rishti b'kal amim rabin. I will therefore spread out my net over you with a gathering of many peoples. Not only will Mitzrayim be conquered, but with that defeat, many other nations will be subjugated as well. From the net, Hashem will bring the sea creature onto land permanently to the open field, leaving it defenseless so that all the animals and birds can prey on it. The Egyptians will be led into slavery and will be open to further attack. The Das Sofrim notes that this degradation lasts throughout history. The dead of Egypt, its mummies, as well as the treasures taken from the plundered tombs are displayed in museums throughout the world. These Egyptians, centuries later, have still not been brought to burial. The Psukim continue that the flesh of Pharaoh will be scattered in mountains and valleys. So great will be the bloodshed that, Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Yishkesi eretz safascha midamcha, I will also water your drenched land with your blood. The rivers and wadis would all be filled with so much blood that the land will be forced to observe it as if it were water. Psukim Zayin and Ches, verses 7 and 8, shift from talking about the slaughter to reflecting on the heavenly bodies. These psukim are talking from the perspective of the one who has suffered, not from the vantage point of the bystanders, as we've seen so far in this perek. To those who have suffered, it is as if the sky, the sun, and the moon have been blotted out because of their trauma. Yecheskel is talking to those in exile in Babel, so they can surely relate to the feelings and anguish of the Egyptians. To the person who has gone from living independently to seeing their nation destroyed, it is as if Vigdarti es kochoveihim, Hashem has darkened the stars. Shemesh ve'anan achasenu, I will cover the sun with a cloud, the areach lo yo'ir oro, and the moon shall not give her light. When someone suffers a tragedy, to the rest of the world the sun keeps rising and setting, but that to that person, Pasuk Ches, verse 8, kol marei or b'shamayim akdireim alecha, All the bright lights of heaven I will darken over you, v'nasati choshech al artzacha, and I will set darkness upon your land. The Das Sofrim explains why Yecheskel is devoting two psukim to the broken hearts of Egypt. The Jews now living in Babel are feeling rejected by Hashem. As we said in previous prakim, they vacillate between not believing the end is coming and questioning the fairness of their suffering. Here, Yecheskel tells them that to some degree, their loss is a universal experience and is not the worst in the region. They still have a connection to Hashem to console them. This awareness will help the Jewish people put their own plight into perspective so they can change rather than staying absorbed in their depression. Next, Yecheskel relates how the other nations will react when Egypt is conquered. They will be very afraid. Each person will fear for his own life, wondering when the destruction will catch up to them. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, gives the nimshal for the mashal we have learned so far. Cherev melech Babel tfuecha, the sword of the king of Babel, will come upon you. Mitzrayim had tried to be a lion and went to fight outside its land. The Malbim explains that first Babel will attack Mitzrayim outside their land and strike down their warriors who are fighting in unfamiliar territory. Afterwards, Nebuchadnezzar will come to Mitzrayim and slaughter its unprotected civilian population and its animals. Pharaoh had churned up conflict with his ambitions. Now the land will stay silent, bereft of its people. This desolation will last for 40 years as the Nile will sit with no humans or animals living there. When this land that is currently so rich and productive becomes barren and desolate, Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, V'yadu ki ani Hashem, they will know that I am Hashem. The Kina concludes, Kinahi, v'konanuha, this is the lamentation, they will lament over her. The Egyptians should lament over their false feelings of power, that their nation will be exiled from their ancestral home, that they suffered a humiliating Babylonian conquest of their land, and over their general destruction and loss. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, now begins the second Nevuah, which takes place 2 weeks after the first Nevuah. The Malbim says the following when explaining the Psukim of the second Nevuah, V'nevuah zu aluma ma'od v'lo noda ma'ratzaba. This prophecy is very hidden, and it is not known what is wanted from it. This Nevuah describes a bunch of dead bodies lying around. According to the Mitzvah David, the Nevuah is taking place in an actual battlefield after the battle at the end of days. According to Rashi, it is describing Gehenim with all the nations who are there. The Nevuah describes the burial and descent of different nations, first Ashur, who we heard about in the last parak, then Elam, then Meshach Tubal, then Edom and Sidon. Each of these nations are described by the derogatory term Arelim, uncircumcised. To be Arel, uncircumcised, is not a physical description, but a spiritual one. It means, according to Rav Breuer, that they lived a life devoid of making spiritual choices that would have elevated them. They caused terror on earth and lived for their own pleasure. As a result, they will be punished, and they will all descend together to an unfortunate end. Hashem tells Yecheskel to wail for the population of Mitzrayim and then the other nations. The Radak interprets this pasuk to mean that this Nevuah was a script for the non-Jewish nations so that they can mourn for themselves, as it would not have been proper to be said by a Jewish Navi on their behalf. The Seder Olam Rabbah tells us that at that time, the Cheskel sees into the future how the nations are condemned to Gehenna. In Pasuk Yates, verse 19, the Cheskel addresses Mitzrayim, mocking it for its arrogance. Mimina Amta, who are you more beautiful than? Rashi says, you may have been more pleasant and beautiful than the other nations. Nonetheless, Rida v'hashkeva es arilim, go lie down with these uncircumcised. Your pleasantness will not save you from joining the ranks of those going to Gehenim. This phrase, according to the Gemara Ksuvos, is one of the three that are said to those entering Gehenim. Yecheskel then says that Mitzrayim will fall b'sochal lecharev, in the midst of those slain by the sword. This is a description of those who are killed in each nation. They are all slain by the sword. Hashem plans their end, and it is not coincidental. Pasuk Chavalis, verse 21, Yadabru lo ele gibor mitoch sh'ol. These strong warriors will speak to Paro from the middle of Gehenim, telling him what awaits him, that all the Arelim, the Chalalei Cherev, are there. The Psukim then lists the nations who are either in Gehenim, as Rashi says, or in a huge pit at the side of the battlefield in the days of Mashiach, according to the Mitzvah David. First, there are the dead Assyrian soldiers who died in battle, who fills up so much space because they exiled the 10 tribes. They caused the most harm to both Israel and Yehuda. Pasuk Chafez, verse 22, Sham Ashur v'chol kahala. There is Ashur and all of its gathering. What is the reason for their descent? Ashner nasnu chitis be'eretz chayim. because they caused terror in the land of the living, meaning in the land of Israel. Next comes Elam, followed by Meshach Tuval, who are described similarly to Ashur, that their graves are around, they are all uncircumcised, killed by the sword, and they cause terror in Israel. Pasuk Chav Ches, verse 28, Yecheskel returns to addressing Paro. Vata b'soch arelim tishavar v'tishkav eschale charev. But you, don't see yourself as greater. You will be broken among the uncircumcised, and you will lie down with those slain by the sword. After Mitzrayim descends, Edom and Sidon will also descend. Edom will go down with melacheha v'chol nesieha, its kings and all of its princes. In Edom, not all the kings will be punished, as there are few who redeem themselves, like Antoninus, who had a relationship with Rebbe in the time of the Mishnah, who are spared. Finally, in Pasuk Lamed, verse 30, we learn about Sidon, who are described uniquely, v'chitisam migvurasam boshim. They are shamed for all the terror which they caused by their might, and they bear their shame with them that go down to the pit. They are embarrassed that they are broken, as they had the reputation of being so strong. One would expect a person to be saddened by the sight of all these nations, na Paro. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31, Osam yira Paro v'nicham al kol hamona. These Paro shall see and shall be comforted over all of his multitude. Paro will be comforted knowing that he was not unique in paying the heavy price for going to battle. An evil person who is suffering gets some comfort from others experiencing the same thing. Hashem now says that all these nations were only tools that Hashem was using to bring about the results needed in history. Pasuk Lamed Beis, verse 32, Ki nasati eschitisi be'eretz chayim, for I put my terror, Hashem put his terror in the land of Israel and the land of the living when it was necessary. Hashem is the one who, at the end of days, says the Mesuas David, caused there to be this frightening battle in Israel. This is done so that Hashem's glory and holiness will be revealed to all. This parak concludes 8 prakim that Yecheskel says to the other nations. It started with speaking in very specific terms about the nations whom Babel will conquer. We then heard about Sor and its king, Mitzrayim and its king, both of whom acted with arrogance and both of whom were completely destroyed. This section ends with a universal message. The defeat of the nations is not just a temporary one, depending on which nation is currently the most powerful. A final battle is coming where the nations will all be judged for what they did to the Jewish people. This message helps Yecheskel create a bridge between the section of punishment which spans from Prakim Aleph to Chaf Dalet, chapters 1 to 24, and to the Prakim of consolation that start with Perek Lamed Dalet, chapter 34, through the end of the Sefer. The next Perek, Perek Lamed Gimel, is a bridge for the Jewish people, as the role of Yecheskel as Navi shifts for them as well. These two Prakim help the people move from looking at their circumstances from a narrow perspective to thinking about what it means over the scope of history. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Basvi Yosef.